HubSpot is a success story partner. Now, think about listening to this podcast right now. You are probably multitasking. You are probably catching maybe 70 to 80% of what I'm saying. Now flip that and imagine catching only 20%. It's not a good use of your time. That'd be insane, right? But this is the reality for most businesses. Most businesses only use 20% of their data. That's like reading a book with 80% of the pages torn out. You are making decisions with a fraction of the picture. All the important details that get buried in the call logs and the emails and the transcripts and the chat messages, and it's just floating around doing nothing for you unless you use HubSpot. Their customer platform brings all that unstructured data together and turns it into insights that actually help you grow your business. Because when you know more, you grow more. And when you're running a business on 100% of your data instead of 20, the decisions get a lot easier. Visit HubSpot.com to get the full picture today. In this lessons episode, explore how luxury real estate is transformed through branding, innovation, and strategic positioning. Discover how partnering with established brands accelerates credibility and demand. Understand how unique features and design choices create unmatched value and differentiation. And uncover how timing, market shifts, and external events reshape buyer behavior and pricing dynamics. I want to talk about luxury and innovation. So I want to understand pre you building in Florida, there was a version of South Florida, there's a version of luxury, and then you started to innovate. You innovated with the amenities that you add on, you innovate with the car elevator, and then you get to the point where you start to think, I'm going to co-brand. I co-branded with Trump, I'm going to co-brand with now Porsche. Where does that thought come from? How does Porsche equate to a luxury place to live? Because, you know, now you have a car company. You could have had a car elevator and you could have partnered up with LVMH, or you could have partnered up with any other luxury brand, but you chose car brands as like the luxury partner.
Yeah. So, I can answer that question in four different steps. First step was, the Trump got me addicted to the branding. I realized that we get tremendous amounts of press without having to pay for it. That's where I realized that this branding thing is a great way to, you know, a project starts, they call themselves Wind, right? Or Sun, or Rise, or whatever stupid name they come up with. Who's going to know about it? It doesn't say where you are. It doesn't say what you are. It doesn't even say, you know, you just, and so that developer is going to spend millions of dollars promoting that brand. And then what happens when the building's over? It's gone, right? And he spent all that money to create what is this building. And then he sold out and is done. We said, well, why, you know, when I realized the Trump effect and how positive that was, I said to myself, why, you know, we don't need to create brands. We can associate with brands. And that's what we did. So now when Porsche came and they were looking for something to do, at first I was like, I'm a huge Porsche fan. I don't know if you know, but I'm a huge, I have one on my wall in my house. I think I have 17 Porsches that I own from all different ranges, old ones, new ones, and everything in between. So I'm a huge Porsche fan. So I was chomping at the bit when they said, hey, let's do a building. But then we all sat there in a room and asked the same exact question. What does Porsche have to do with real estate? How do you incorporate Porsche into real estate? And my father was the one who piped up and said, we need to put a car elevator in the building.
Oh, and I see. That's the connection.
That's the connection. He said, we need to put a car elevator in the building and make it a car building. And the idea at first was like, I don't know, but we have to start thinking about it. And then as we started to look at it, and we sat there with an architect and said, hey, how do we put a car in a garage? And then we started reading the zoning code. That's when we had the aha moment. The aha moment was that garages in the units above 24 feet high do not affect your FAR, your floor area ratio, which means your sellable square feet. Which means a given site, Porsche, for example, had a maximum saleable square footage by FAR, by code, of 525,000 square feet, which is already a big building. We found out that by putting the garages up there, it doesn't take away from the 525,000 feet. So we took the philosophy of, hey, let's give these people some free space. You know, since it's free to us, it's free to them. And so our marketing efforts, we sold the entire apartment. Where my neighbors were selling at $1,200 a square foot, I was selling at $1,200 a square foot too. However, I was selling the entire square footage, the apartment and the garage. So where you had a unit that was 5,000 square feet total that we were selling for $1,200 or $6 million price point, that unit was actually 3,500 square feet interior. And we disclosed it. We didn't trick anybody. We didn't, you know, but because I was able to sell the garage space as part of the unit. And the answer was people wanted it. You know, if you didn't want it, there was a lot of people, we just said, hey, this is not for you. Why do I need my car in my living room? What if it's dirty? Hey, this is not for you. Go next door, go someplace else. But then we found a group of people saying, especially South Americans and celebrities. You see, I did it. I wanted the car. I thought the coolest thing in the world is your car in your living room. Two cars in your living room.
It's very cool.
Everybody has their Picasso on their walls. Fuck Picasso. I want my $25 million Ferrari GTO in my living room, right? In a Porsche building or in any branded building, because like the brand really didn't matter. So that was my goal. But when the buyer saw it and the South Americans and celebrities saw it, they saw something completely different, which I didn't even notice or pay attention to. They saw a way of getting home without seeing anybody or asking for assistance. They saw a way of privacy, of getting into their apartment, going up to their apartment and inside their unit without having to go through the lobby, without having to say hello to anybody. And it really made it like a single family home. And so that's where the units started selling like crazy, because people liked the idea of having a house in the sky. And it was a real privacy. Every other condo sells house in the sky because they have an outdoor barbecue. That's, you know, bullshit, in my opinion. We did not just the outdoor barbecue. I put swimming pools on every balcony. So you didn't have to go downstairs, you know. I have the car elevator in the unit. We have a restaurant in the building that orders room service. So this is a building where you never have to leave your unit if you want to be a hermit. You have everything you need in your house in the sky. And it took so well to the market that it sold and resold and resold, and we're still doing resales right now. I mean, so from there, I was on a trip to in Dubai, and I stayed at the Burj Khalifa at the Armani Hotel, and I saw this Armani thing, and I'm like, how come we don't have this in America, you know? And so I contacted the Armani guys, and I said, listen, I'm the brandy guy in the United States. Nobody else is doing what I'm doing at the time, you know. Since then, they've all copied me, but nobody's doing what I'm doing. I did the Trump buildings. I'm doing Porsche. Now let's see what we can do with this one. So I had also signed up Lalique, the glass company, to do a project with them. Unfortunately, nothing has happened with there, but I did have them as a brand signed up. So I went to Armani. I said, look, I'm your guy. Let's do a project, and signed them up. And that's where the Residence by Armani Casa came from, which was a $960 million build. Sold out. And that was where we finished that right before the pandemic. I started selling that in 2016. We finished it in 2019, end of 2019. We had our opening party March 7th of 2020. We had Pitbull come and sing to the crowd. Amazing party, maybe 2,000, 3,000 people at the party. And then already the Italians from Armani told us we can't come to the party because COVID was starting to happen.
COVID is already starting over there, yeah.
And then so March 7th, March 14th, lockdowns. So, we had, at that time, we had 20% still left to sell in Armani. We'd sold 80%, closed 80%. And then the lockdowns happened and we didn't know what the hell was going to happen. We thought having this huge party with Pitbull will make a lot of noise as we do and we'll sell out the rest of the units. So that didn't happen. So COVID, we were kind of stuck. We didn't sell anything, but at the same time, we had paid off our loan. So we weren't like with a gun to our head. This is all profit. We're sitting there. So it was fine. We just had to pay maintenance on the units, carry the units, not a problem. And then, towards 2021, October 21, I remember the world kind of opened up, and that's when we sold everything. Between October and January, we sold.
Notion is a success story partner. Now, every week I'm juggling podcast prep and newsletter deadlines and agency work. And one thing that used to eat all my time was compiling status updates across all these different projects so I could see where everything's at. Now, with Notion's new custom agents, that's just handled now. I set up a status update agent that automatically scans my team's progress. It pulls everything together and sends out a report without me even having to touch it. Here's what makes Notion different. Notion is an AI-powered connected workspace for teams. Notion brings all your notes, your docs, your projects into one space that just works. It's seamless, it's flexible, it's powerful, and it's actually fun to use. And with AI built right into it, you spend less time switching between tools and apps and more time creating great work. And now with custom agents, the busy work that used to take hours runs itself. Most AI still waits for you to prompt it, but custom agents runs on schedules and triggers. So one person just sets it up and it becomes a shared resource for the whole team. Think of them like AI teammates with a specific job. So try custom agents now at notion.com/story. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/story to try custom agents today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. Upwork is a success story partner. Now, one of the biggest lessons I learned building businesses is that you don't have to do it all yourself. The fastest growing companies, they are not working harder. They're delegating smarter. And that's where Upwork comes in. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development and data and analytics and marketing and business operations and more. We're talking over 125 categories of specialized talent. So wherever the skill gap is, you can fill it fast without weeks of recruiting or committing to a full-time hire. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role before you ever spend a dollar. And with Business Plus, you get access to the top 1% of talent on Upwork. And with AI-powered shortlisting, that matches you to the right person in under 6 hours. Contracts, payments, all handled in one place. It's free to sign up. Job posting is super easy. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to grow your business. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. Warby Parker is a success story partner. Now, buying glasses used to be one of those things that I just dreaded. You walk in somewhere, everything's overpriced, the styles are all outdated, and somehow you leave spending way more than you planned on frames that you're not even sure you like. I just wanted it to be simple. That's why I switched to Warby Parker. I'm never going back. The virtual try-on alone sold me. You open your phone, you point the camera, and you're seeing the frames on your face in real time. So there's no more guessing. There's no more hoping they look good when they show up. Prescription glasses start at $95. That's 95. And the quality is better than the stuff that I paid 3, 4, 5 times more for in store. They also do contacts, eye exams, sunglasses, everything's in one place. And if you want to walk in somewhere, they've got over 300 stores. All Success Story podcast listeners get 15% off plus free shipping when you buy 2 or more pairs of prescription glasses at warbyparker.com/success. That's 15% off when you buy 2 or more pairs at warbyparker.com/success and tell them Success Story sent you.
Last 20% in 3 months.
So what happened to the world, the South Florida world, the Miami world, the Aventura, the Sunny Isles? What happened to that world after COVID? Because I find it's just been absolute chaos in a good way.
Yeah.
For this. I mean, I'm down here because of it.
Yeah.
Right.
It was chaotic in many places. I mean, you know, really draconian shit going on over there. People getting arrested for not wearing masks and you know, and that wasn't happening here, you know, and that's where, and the word got out. Hey, Miami's open. No, it's not happening there, you know, and the word really got out you know, they taught us this in a university. It was the prisoner's dilemma. You heard about the prisoner's dilemma? You remember that?
A little bit. Yeah, I do. Well, I do.
The simplest, shortest form of a prisoner's dilemma is everybody else is closed and you're open. You're going to get the business, right?
So yeah.
that's the shortest way of figuring out that prisoner's dilemma. And that's exactly what happened, you know? So everybody else was closed. We were open for business. And, you know, DeSantis took a risk and it paid off for him. And it all worked out, you know? So I got COVID twice. It was nothing. It was a flu. I also think the climate here in Florida, because it was warmer, it didn't cause the COVID as much.
Well, people are outdoors too. They're not all grouped in tiny rooms and whatnot all winter, like at some places up north. I think that helps.
Right. And then the other part that brought people here was, and I really applaud the police force in all of Miami, Sunny Isles especially, but all of Miami. There was none of that BS going on of rioting that was happening around the country. Where things started, they shut it down real quick. I remember where they were burning cop cars all over the place. There was one police car burned in Miami kind of thing that day. That, you know, we didn't have those issues. We didn't have crime issues. Or I mean, we always have crime issues, right? But the police here take it seriously. There's no defunding going on here. There's none of that stuff. They took it seriously and they're strong. And they don't mess around. And, you know, and that created a real safe environment for everybody, you know? So it was COVID and it was safe and it was a reason to come down. I mean, there's so many places in America that turned to shit over the George Floyd and everything else that, you know, it's really scary, to be honest with you. So I got to say, more luck than brains that we're here, you know? I mean, and it happened for us. I can't say that we knew that was going to happen, but we happened to be in the right place at the right time with respect to after COVID. And so that's clearing the way. And now, as far as real estate in the United States, I think we're one of the few markets that are still popping, you know?
What happened? So what did you see post COVID? You had money moving down from New York. You had money moving from probably LA. Probably some of LA went to Vegas too. But Vegas, talk to me Texas, about the influx of, yeah. Talk about the influx of cash, what people are starting to pay. Do you think this is going to maintain? Like when you build your next build, what are you expecting in terms of buyers that have moved down here now?
Well, definitely the demographic has changed. We used to get a lot of South Americans, where the South American, the market today is rough because of the exchange rates. So they're not there. But what happened specifically was, you know, there was a lot of people coming for a small amount of inventory on the high end, right? That's what you heard about. And the small amount of inventory on the high end had to continue to go up based on the bidding wars that these people created amongst themselves. And at the end of the day, they still got a deal because whatever they bought, spending too much money is still, you know, a 30% discount to New York as to what they're paying over there.
True.
So, you know, and they're on the waterfront in a tax-free environment. I mean, they won. They won. They did right. You know, so... But what happened was the market went crazy because there was only a certain amount of homes and a tremendous amount of buyers. And like I said, it affected us in that we sold out 60 Armani units in 90 days, you know, which is kind of like pretty fast, you know. But in the pre-construction game, which we're in, it kind of rising tide raises ships, but didn't raise the pre-construction ship because everybody wanted something now. And so anybody who was selling today got a premium on what they were selling, but then they couldn't replace it because everything else went up. So the pre-construction game is a slow and steady kind of turtle that wins. It's designed for people who are planning to the future because these buildings aren't ready for 3-4 years. And somebody who likes to pay as you go, so to speak. I mean, our 50% deposits, we take in 10% increments, 5 payments over the course of 4 years. So that makes it comfortable for a buyer, for somebody who wants to, you know, slowly move the money out of the country. Those things are, you know, that's where the pre-construction market goes. So where the market went crazy, we got the benefit of the higher price per square foot on what things were selling. And we were able to sell at a higher price per square foot. But then, of course, costs went up. So, you know, although we're selling for more money, we're not making more money, you know, unfortunately. Costs went up in ratio, and even actually higher than the cost per square foot. And then stupid costs are still happening. Insurance is like completely out of control. Concrete and construction materials are getting back in control, but labor has gone out of control. Labor moved up a good 40-50% from where it used to be pre-pandemic. So labor rates. So there's still more expensive stuff that, you know, and it's costing more expensive. So we're selling for more, costing more, trying to make a spread. That's the name of our game, you know.
Thanks for tuning in. If you found this valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you want to dive deeper into this conversation, check out the links in the description to watch the full episode. See you in the next one.